Right now, it is time for Dr. Judy Werpman and Food for a Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle version, and Before Her Voice Was Still. And she graces us with her presence on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, good morning. And I know it feels so great to have the weather go to a bearable, tolerable, and wonderful temperature, though it may be temporary.
It not only is it temporary, this is one of those, I saw a report that it was 70 degrees in Buffalo. It's like the first time I've wanted to go back to Buffalo.
Yes, I told you, I was looking, taking the dog out, and I saw something white on the ground with little green things attached to it. And I thought, what's that? I thought, oh, it's a flower.
How unique.
It was a crocus. I thought it's been so long.
No,
so
I know.
Flowers coming up.
It definitely did. We're ready.
Exactly. Anyway, fortunately or not fortunately, we right now nobody is walking around, despite the increase in temperature, in very scanty clothes as they would, let's say, if you were in, say, Southern Florida or California. And one of the things that I wanted to write about today, Jill, was the fact that there are certain parts of the country where people are peeling off layers of their clothing, and by doing so, they're really exposing the weight that they have been perhaps hiding under, you know, layers of sweaters and long underwear and heavy jackets. And a friend of mine who, you know, lives in a very heavily touristed area in South Florida told me that she was absolutely shocked at the number of people who were considerably overweight. I mean, let's be called spade a spade. They were obese, and they were wearing the skimpiest of clothing that one could get away with, if not on the beach. And she said what was really amazing was that they were all young. These were not people who were in their, you know, 60s and 70s and perhaps a sort of put on weight over a period of many decades, but these were kids who, you know, were maybe, if that, 10 years out of high school. And she said, I don't understand it. Don't they realize how really overweight they are? I mean, it wasn't so much that she was criticizing the way they look, but the fact that they seem to be oblivious to the hazards of being so overweight. And so I decided to sort of look into it, and because, you know, when you look for at anything in the internet, you always find an answer, whether it's accurate or not. But this time, I did find some interesting in facts. And one of the things that I saw was that in surveys that have been done over the last 5 or 6 years, it turns out that the young adult group, let's say from graduating high school through the 30s. Do not perceive themselves as being obese, even though they definitely are. That their self-referential, you know, status is, I'm normal in weight. There's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with my weight from an aesthetic standpoint. There's nothing wrong with my weight from a medical standpoint. Everybody else is the same, looks the same, and therefore, why should I even, you know, describe myself as overweight or obese when I'm clearly not? And this apparently has been true not only in our country, but also in the UK, where similar surveys were done. And what apparently the people who really perceive obesity in others do so only when somebody is 500 or 600 pounds. People, and you might perceive somebody who, let's say, goes on one of those shows to lose weight, weighs 600 pounds. That person will be perceived as obese. Of course, that person is morbidly obese. But if you weigh 80, 90, 100 pounds more than you should, you don't think you're overweight. You don't think that you're fat. You don't think you're obese, and you don't think you should do anything about it. And I think one of the reasons for it may be because so much of the population is already obese. So when you walk around in an airport or a shopping mall, or let's say you go to a theme park, a Disney park, and you see everybody else who looks like you, and everybody else is at least 40 pounds overweight, but perhaps 100 pounds overweight, you don't perceive this as being anything but normal. I was thinking that when my husband and I went to Holland, we've gone a few times, And we saw the Dutch, you know, in a place like Amsterdam, many, many of them are almost 7 feet tall. I mean, you see women and men who are way over 6 feet tall. And we felt like midgets, you know, because your eye gets accustomed to people who are maybe a foot taller than you are, but there's so many of them, you think, oh, being 6 feet 5 inches tall is a new normal, is normal. And anybody who's only 5'11 or 5'4 or 5'3 is short or very, very short. And so if everybody around you is overweight, you know, again, 50, 60, 80 pounds overweight, you look around and say, yeah, that's what we should be looking like. So my question is, how do you get people to consider losing weight when they don't think they have to? It was sort of like what we went through when we try to get people to stop smoking. And until we actually put in a lot of laws that made it really hard to smoke, in addition to trying to convince people that it really made an enormous difference to their health, you didn't see a real decrease. And I don't know, frankly, how you get people to reverse their overweight status when they don't think they are.
Well, you have.
I can give you some expert opinion on this, Judy. Whether I was back when I was 470 pounds many, many, many years ago before I had the gastric bypass surgery, or whether I was at my lowest weight limit since being an adult, which was about 238 pounds, I didn't view myself any different at all. And I think that it is a problem that has grown in America where the only people who fat shame are really thin people, very, very thin people, and there's less and less of those real thin people around. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take what it took with me to be very serious about it. And that was when the pandemic came about, and all of a sudden those who had any comorbidity, like I was overweight. I, of course, I had bronchitis where I missed the year of school when I was young, so I have scarred lungs, and I decided, gosh, I think this is a good time to start to take off this weight. And now we are 11 months into it, and I just got on the scale this morning, and it's now 77 pounds.
Oh, Marshall, that's...
Well, I still have to get where I want to get to. I still have another at least 35 to 37 pounds, but it's become something now that Judy, and something that I never thought would happen. And I was telling Joe about this. You know, when I used to make myself something to eat at the house, I would make a normal plate of food. Now, if I want a sandwich, this is no lie. It's one piece of bread cut in half. And something very, and maybe one piece of meat and a tomato on it. And guess what? By the time I finish it, I'm full. I'm full.
Yeah. And it is interesting to watch from the side because, or tangentially, because sometimes, you know the old saying, eyes are bigger than stomach? Marshall's calculations of what it looks like and what he can eat, like his eyes have not changed yet. So he. It is really interesting.
It's going to take a while to catch up. And I also notice the stuff I have in my refrigerator lasts for much longer. I now seal things because I'm not eating nearly. And you know what? It's not even really a diet anymore because I do eat some things with fat. I do eat vegetables.
Sure.
I do eat meat. I do eat chicken. I do eat. It's now become second nature, and it finally. At the age of 68, hit to me that, you know what, doing it incredibly slowly over a long period of time, you really do change. So someone's got to have that motivating factor, and it can't be, oh, I want to look good, or oh, I want to please somebody.
I agree.
You got to.
But there's something else that I would like to throw in here as well, and that is for the last, I'm not sure how long, if you have looked at. The let's call it I'll call it Kate Moss druggy, you know, like the body cadaverous body imagery that was basically
sure.
in
the models
yeah. And this is what you were told like this whether or not you were told to look like that, this is what was being projected as, you know, you should look like a cadaver. And
but Jill the average dress size now is 16 to 18.
Wait I totally understand that. I'm just saying that you've got a huge split between I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that sometimes when there is a huge split, it helps to go back to what could have potentially created the split to figure out what a solution is. That's all I'm saying.
You're absolutely right. And thank God people don't look at a model in a magazine and say, I want to look like this. I want to have arms and legs that look like twigs, because otherwise I'll look, going to look fat. And I think maybe having more people who are in the obese category might decrease, I hope, fat shaming, because who's left to fat yet? If you might be, you know, skinny shaming. But how do you get people to be like you, Marshall? How do you get these kids are still vulnerable to getting COVID? They're the ones who are the last to get vaccinated, but they don't perceive that as a problem. Of course, they're young, and which is basically a problem, you know, in perceiving any problem, any kind of health danger. How do you get them to perceive that what they are weighing now, if they continue to gain weight, which they probably will, is going to lead to orthopedic problems, you know, heart problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, etc.? How do you
enlist the parents?
Get into that.
I don't even know there has to be a bell that goes off, which implies, I think if you did a study, you would see heart attack and early death rates because of the way you eat, your cholesterol count, your weight and everything. I bet you if you compared it to 25 years ago, for younger people, when I say younger people, I'll say 18 to 35, mm-hmm. I would bet you that it is doubled or tripled. You have to have a real good reason, and my real good reason was, God damn it, I didn't want to die of COVID-19.
Right. Exactly, and that, you know, should be said loud and clear. And you don't want to die of hypertension and a stroke and a heart attack or the consequences of diabetes either. And you're preventing all that. But when you're 22 years old, you can't even get kids to eat dairy products because, you know, they may get osteoporosis when they're 55. You know, they there's no perception that I'm going to be older one day, oh, God forbid, you know. And the other thing is they all tend to eat together, and they tend to eat large portions together and also consume alcohol. You know, but they don't even think about the calories. I'm not talking about any other aspect of it. So somebody has got to figure out a way of getting to these kids before they get to the point where it's irreversible.
Marshall,
you know how hard it is for you to have started to lose, you know, this weight, and you know it's a long journey, and thank God you are successfully pursuing that journey, but it's really hard to do if you have a lot of weight to lose.
You know, Bill Maher talks about it on his show every week, real time, and he says that it's great that we have all these things, but the number one thing that the Center for Disease Control, the president, and the health should work on is America's diet. And that's the only way that people are going to wake up. I've been up and down my whole life, and finally the bell went off because I'm 68 or 67 when it started. And you know what? I consider myself to be at risk. People have to be hammered over the head like they were with cigarettes with alcohol. You have to be hammered over the head, and it has to come every day from every form of media, from friends, from neighbors.
Yes,
and it has to be kind, but it also has to be.
It has to be done correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. But it has to be done. But
exactly.
Again, it can come under the category I'm being hooked again. One day we'll explain to people again what the hook is. But it has to be done intelligently. But it needs to become basically a part of health protocols, because otherwise you're way, way, way behind the eight ball.
We're just going to fail. We're just going to be 100% obese. Not really, but we're just going to fail. And the medical cost, I'm not just talking about the financial
cost. No, the ancillary. It's just horrible. Anyway,
to
be continued. Thank you very much.
Very much. Bye-bye.
Dr. Judy Wertmann, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you're going to hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday morning, and also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertmann.